It was just really a rough season for me starting out, but now I just feel so much more peace and just confidence in what God has me to share with the world, you know?
Right.
But that's not perfect. It's just, this is just me. This is my life, yeah. And this is what God is doing in it, and here it is, and take it or leave it.
Between the Grooves is hosted by James Curtis, music director and morning man in the Greater Toronto Area on Joy Radio, and Aisha Woods, Grammy-nominated singer, songwriter, and musician. Together, they talk with artists and industry insiders to discover our connection between music and faith. You can connect with us on Facebook or X at Between Grooves and on Instagram at Between Grooves Pod. Now, here's James and Aisha.
Welcome back to Between the Grooves. It's James Curtis along with Aisha Woods. How are you doing, Aisha?
I'm doing great. How about you, my friend?
I'm doing good because the weather is getting warmer and warmer and warmer and warmer. Winter is behind us, I think. I mean, we're in spring, but sometimes in Canada, these things drag on a bit. And we didn't have much of a winter.
Yeah.
So I was good with that, but it's
That's nice.
Yeah, it's nice to be able to get outside in the morning, go for a walk and not be shivering, you know, icy cold hands and you know, walking with my coffee and the coffee's cold by the time I get to my destination,
that sort of thing. So, I'll tell you what, this weekend we're hosting a cookout. So I wish you were close because
I'd come.
I'd love for you to come.
Yeah. Well, let's get to our episode on Between the Grooves this week. We have a very special guest, GMA Dove Award nominated artist, songwriter, and worship leader.
I love it. Miss Sarah Kroger. Let's get into it.
Yeah. You have to work for it. That's okay.
That's okay. How are you guys?
Oh, we're doing great. You've got James in Toronto and you've got Aisha in Orlando.
Oh, fun. Hi, Aisha.
Yeah. How are you? So glad to have you on the show today.
I'm actually in Melbourne, Florida right now. So
no kidding.
We're pretty close to each other. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Let me ask you this. Have you been to the beach this year yet?
We literally just went this morning for 5 minutes.
I'm jealous.
And that's a dream for us in Toronto. Like I went to the beach this morning. It's like, like you got to plan that sort of thing in the summertime. We're going to go to the beach for the day because you got to drive to get there.
Right.
But a morning beach thing or even an evening thing, like I would love to do that. You know, where
I'm just going to go
to the beach, swim in the ocean for a couple hours before I go to work.
I know. Trust me. I know. I grew up in Melbourne and we had an event here this past weekend. We had a young adult retreat. My husband and I were leading. And so we just stayed a few extra days because the beach is just the best. There's nothing like it. So, yeah.
Not at all.
Did you grow up in Florida?
Did grow up in Florida. Yeah. We lived here until about 12 years ago. We've been gone from Florida for 12 years now. But before that, just lived at the beach, basically. And I can't believe it. Because now I think that really set a foundation for me of just loving nature in a way that I didn't realize. Because you're just going to the beach all the time and literally beautiful way to be raised, you know, beautiful environment to be raised in. And yeah, I miss it a lot, but it's always good to come back. So
where do you call home?
We call Nashville home. Nashville right now. So we're landlocked, but it's a good place to be. It's a good place to be.
Are you in Nashville because of your music career?
Yes. Yeah. It's kind of, I think you can do it without living in Nashville for sure. But for me, it just is. It's been such a time of exponential growth for me to be surrounded by writers and musicians who are way better than me. It's like iron sharpens iron.
Sure.
I just feel like I've grown so much being a writer and as an artist, just being in that environment day in and day out. It can sometimes feel like a lot of pressure, you know, so it's nice to get away and kind of center yourself again. But being there has been really amazing, and the community is super supportive and just lots of cheerleaders and champions for what you're doing for the art in general in Nashville. So it's a really great place to be.
So once in a while you do get to go out on the road and lead worship, but when you're in Nashville, that's, would you say most of your time is spent writing and recording?
Yeah, I would say majority of our time there is doing, or for, at least for me, doing a lot of co-writes. My label has a lot of side projects as well that I've been a part of throughout the years. So a lot of those are writing camps and recording. And yeah, it's just a lot of creativity. I would say that's my full-time job, just writing songs and recording them and releasing them and figuring out how to share about them and all of that. It's a lot. It's a lot to coordinate, but I love it so much. I can't imagine doing anything else.
If I recall correctly, last summer, Integrity was getting involved with more of the music festivals. Did you get a chance to do some of that?
I didn't get a chance to do some of that. Now, I was supposed to be at specifically Kingdom Bound Festival, which is, I think, kind of northern New York, right? Far from Toronto. Yeah. And I had actually been to Kingdom Bound the year before, but last year I wasn't able to go because I was at an event called World Youth Day, which was happening in Portugal at the same time, which was like millions of people that get together every couple of years to grow in fellowship and in the faith. And just kind of, it was this worldwide gathering that I was invited to come and be a part of. So I had to say no to Kingdom Bound to go do that. But I love the festivals. They're always so fun, especially in the summer, just to gather. And it's just a really fun time. So, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I was with the folks at Kingdom Bound and Integrity. Yeah, so we were there on site as a radio station and got some stage time doing some interviews. And
that's so cool.
I think the feature, I mean, obviously the worship's great, the music's great, the concerts are awesome, seeing the artists themselves and the groups and stuff, but the food, yeah, I mean, I would go for the food, sure.
That's hilarious.
I jest. But of course, the nice thing, and if you obviously you've been at Kingdom Bound, so you kind of know the layout. The catering area is backstage of the main stage, so you do get to mingle and see a lot of the people that you wouldn't necessarily get a chance to normally.
Yeah, exactly. That festival in and of itself is such a cool atmosphere, and it has a definitely a different, distinct kind of energy to it, I would say, than the other festivals I've been to. Just really welcoming, warm people, you know?
Yes. It feels more laid back, I think.
Yeah, and like a community effort. Yep. It's just, I really love those people, and I hope that someday I'll get to go back because it's really a special environment for sure.
I think the community aspect is obviously because they use a lot of volunteers, but I think it's also because they really are a well-oiled machine. Like they know exactly what to do. They know how to treat the artists. They know how to treat all of the sponsors. They know how to treat even the visitors going to check out the concert and stuff. Like they've got it down. They've got it down to a science.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
They've been doing it for a long time.
Yeah.
I wonder how long Kingdom Bound has been going.
I don't know, actually.
I think the exact length of time was many years. But Aisha, you performed there before.
Yes,
way back
I have.
When. Yeah.
I have a quirky Kingdom Bound story.
Oh,
do you want to hear it?
Are we gonna end up tagging Kingdom Bound on this episode
know,
or not?
Right? I don't know.
Okay, I know the story, and I think and I think that it's nobody's fault. I guess I'll just
no,
kind
it's
of prelude
preface it.
Yeah, it's kind of it could happen anytime, anywhere, any place, right?
Oh gosh.
So
yeah,
but go ahead.
So Sarah, so let me tell you. We were invited to Kingdom Bound, and I was gearing up. I was so excited because I've never been to Niagara Falls before. So, we'll get a chance to go and see it. And my set was on one of the side stages, so there were no keyboard or or anything set up. In the event CDs failed. This was when you were running your performance tracks from CD.
Yeah.
So my song came on and we got about 45 seconds into it and the disc started to skip.
No.
It was like, okay, nobody's mad but the devil. But the truth, yep. I was probably hotter than the devil that day.
Because there's no backup plan when that happens, right?
No.
You can't do an acoustic thing there either.
No, you couldn't. And I mean, that's happened to us before, but the instruments on stage. So we just, you know, go jump on the instruments and continue. But I was like, oh gosh, you make me happy.
No.
You make me happy. Yeah. And we were scheduled to go see Niagara Falls. And after my set, I was like, I'm going to book the very first flight home. I'm out of here. So that's my Kingdom Bound story. But I love them. And they treated us so warmly and just a wonderful group of people. And I'd love to go again.
But after that story,
it would definitely be under some different circumstances.
Backup plan.
But you can never control circumstances like that. It could have happened anywhere, right?
No.
Yeah. Sarah, have you had situations happen like that for yourself?
Oh my gosh. I mean, I feel for you. My stomach dropped when you said that because I know the feeling. There was this one time that I was invited to this festival in Italy. It was an international music gathering, and I was one of the representatives from America. That was this big deal. And they also sing to tracks over there. So it was the wildest thing because it was a live recording and they had a band, but they weren't plugged in. They were just like acting like they were playing, but
just
the track
for the visual.
Millie,
here we go.
Seriously, but I had to sing live. But I had never, like, I don't like dance with my song. You know what I mean? Like, I'll move a little bit, but I'm not like moving a lot. And they had all of this, like, they wanted me to walk the stage and they wanted me to be in heels and they wanted all these things. And I was
okay, all right,
I can do this. I mean, and so there were all these places that I had marks that I had to hit and like all of this. I had never done that before. Like, I don't think people understand how much it requires breath support wise for you to like running around stage and doing all these dance moves and stuff like that. I had never done that before. So I get to my song and I run out of breath support. I could not like in the middle of it, I was like dying. I was like, like literally just dying. And afterwards, no one could even look at me. Like I felt like so because I just didn't have the right breath support. I couldn't do it. And I felt like the worst. I mean, because they had flown me out to Italy and it was this big deal. And I just felt like the absolute worst. I'm sure it wasn't as bad as I'm making it out to be. Just like a few deep breaths or missing a few marks. But like, it was not great. And I was devastated. And, you know, but now looking back on it, it's like, man, that happens. It happens. Yep. And
it sure does.
Yeah, but it never happens to Brittany. Come on.
Oh, I'm sure it does. I'm sure it does. But it happens to everybody, you know?
That's why she doesn't perform anymore. She's just worn right out.
I mean, it's a lot. It's physically demanding. It really is. But also like in that moment to have to figure out, okay, all of these eyes are on me. Something is going wrong. What am I supposed to do? It's like
a
skill set in and of itself. And I get it. I really do. It's so hard to like pivot, you know, and make up for it. Yeah.
And I guess when you were younger, you were rather shy. So that'd be a big step for you.
I was. Oh my gosh. I've really enjoyed being in my 30s. I'm 36 now because I feel like I just care less about what people think about me.
Sure.
Which is
it
like,
is what it is.
It is what it is. And I can't control it. And I'm trying my best to be the best person that I can be. But if people don't like that, then that's on them. And that's okay. You know, but like in my 20s, when I'm first starting out with music, especially, it's so vulnerable to release music in the first place. It's so vulnerable to put yourself out there. But then on top of that, just not really being confident in who I was really made for a perfect storm for many years of just stage fright and not wanting to even share my songs and not sure how to do it. And it was just really a rough season for me starting out. But now I just feel so much more peace and just confidence in what God has me to share with the world, you know?
Right.
That's not perfect. It's just, this is just me. This is my life. Yeah. And this is what God is doing in it. And here it is. And take it or leave it. And it's it's just kind of like freedom in that way, which is really exciting for me. So yeah. But when I was younger, for sure, really struggled, really struggled with shyness and, and confidence.
Do you go out when you go out? Do you take a band with you, or is it primarily you and some keys?
Yeah, it's a mix. Sometimes it's me and like maybe an acoustic guitar player, but a lot of times it's me with my whole band, and which is super fun. Both of those environments are fun for me. I love acoustic shows, but the energy of a full band show, you can't replicate that. So
yeah, well, that would give you more confidence too, having a full band versus it's just you kind of lone on the stage by yourself, and you make it or break it, and you played the wrong key or whatever.
Oh gosh,
you know,
exactly. And and they're just such wonderful players too, so it's just really fun to play together, you know, because they're so talented. So yeah, it all works together.
Are they your band, or do they play for other people as well?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, because I think being a full-time musician is a lot harder than being an artist. You get paid less as a, you know, from a day rate perspective, to do multiple different kinds of things. So a lot of them are producers in their own right, or will play on other people's tracks, or will travel with people and travel with multiple people. And I think maybe when you're like a megastar, like Garth Brooks or someone, you know, like, I don't know why he came to mind, but someone like that, you can be on salary. That's a different story. But for most artists who have bands, the band guys are doing multiple kinds of jobs. So they do a lot of different kinds of things, each of them, so it's kind of fun to keep up with them in that way too.
I read recently online, and it, I guess it was an artist or it was somebody involved in the music business, describing how the whole music culture, the music environment, the music industry has changed dramatically over the years, where, you know, previously, when you were signed with a label, they took care of everything for you. I mean, you were basically an employee on salary with benefits, and you know, everything got taken care of, the promotion and everything else, where a lot of that has changed now. A lot of it you have to do yourself.
Oh, sure.
A lot of it, you're not making as much money because, you know, everybody's got their slice of the pie, and there's just less for the artist now. And that's a lot of the reasons why you see artists pushing their merch, because they make a huge amount on their merch and stuff. What have you found in your career musically?
Yeah, I am signed to a label right now, and I think it depends on the label that you're a part of. It's definitely not like there were 360 deals going on for a while, not to get into the nitty gritty of business, the music business side, but since you asked, like, there were a lot of back in the day 360s where a label would get access to your merch, and they would make money off of your touring, and they would make money off of literally everything that you do. And that's just not sustainable, especially today, like in this day and age. I know so many independent musicians. You have access to Spotify, you have access to Apple, you have independent playlisting people, and you can kind of build your own team. It's a little bit more expensive. It costs you more money, but you have control of the team that you want, you know, versus at a label, I have a marketing team and a PR team and a graphics team. And I mean, I have all of these people in place who it's their job to make this album work and to be in front of as many people as possible. And so
it
has give and takes. Like, that costs me more money, essentially, because I'm giving away more of my publishing than I would if I was independent. But it's kind of a give and take. And And for right now, it works really well for me to be a part of this label and just be connected to them in that way, be connected to a wider team and umbrella has really been beneficial to me. And I also just love that the heart behind Integrity is Songs for the Global Church. And I love what they stand for and the way that they approach it. And so it's been a really sweet time for me being at a label. And I know that that's just not the case for everybody. Some people, if they can't make it at radio, they get dropped from their label, you know, within like a couple of months. And so there's different pressures at different labels, but for me, my experience with them has been really, really sweet. And I'm really grateful for that. But who knows what's in the future, you know, especially with independent music taking off and the ability to kind of reach people on your own is pretty magnificent these days, I would say.
Sure. The flip side, though, is, you know, you've just described having a team, being surrounded by a team and everybody being specialists in their area. And when you don't have that team and when you're independent, and if you're not, you know, don't have the ability or you don't want to pay for those resources, then you have to do it yourself. So that takes you away from your craft, right?
Yep.
At least in your particular circumstance, you can specialize and focus and spend a majority of your time doing what you love instead of all the administrative stuff and all the other stuff behind the scenes that a lot of people wouldn't necessarily see.
Yeah, exactly. It's just a give and take and a balance, and trying to be open to, at least for me, where God has me in this stage of my career. This is where He has me, and I'm really grateful for that. And I know so many people that would die to have a team. I mean, honestly. Sure. So I'm just trying to be grateful for that and take advantage and learn from them, you know, learn and grow. And I'm really grateful in this season that I have a team of people that are helping me with it, for sure.
Yes, it's good help. Not easy to come by.
No, it is not.
How long have you been on the label?
Since 2019. So right before COVID. Yeah, the end of 2019. So right before COVID hit, I kind of signed with them officially. And in some ways, it's felt like a black hole of time because COVID, you know, COVID was 4 years ago. It's crazy.
Isn't that crazy?
So crazy. So to sign with them in the middle of that was pretty wild. But it was also a huge gift, again, because they're a team of people and they got really creative in that season of how do we keep sharing music, and kept me busy with recordings and plenty of content. And it was really because I was with them. You know, they put me to work and I'm grateful for that. So, yeah.
Yeah, that is a blessing.
Yeah, the putting you to work. I was waiting to hear what you would actually do in that time frame, because it's exciting when you get signed to a label, but then you know, right when the pandemic starts, it's like, okay, so we got to twiddle
everybody
our thumbs, not
stay
do
in
anything.
The house.
Yeah, stay in the house.
Right.
Don't do anything. So the fact that they were able to get creative and you were able to get creative and actually use that time effectively is saying a big thing right there.
Yeah. Well, literally the day that the world shut down, I finished my final vocal on my album Light, which is the two albums ago. And so it was my first album, official album with Integrity, that they were going to, you know, put all their team behind, and we were going to do the thing. And it was the first album with them. And I finished my final vocal the day that the world shut down.
We
had a project that was ready to go. And we just kind of were like, all right, let's figure this out. Like we have visuals, we have videos, we have songs. So let's just go full force. And there was nothing else that I had to, you know, pay attention to or take my time away. It was just, we were able to do video shoots and acoustic versions and live streams and all the things because I had that content. So it was really a God thing, honestly. And then also I had so much time that I was able to just write a ton, whether it was on Zoom or in person, once things opened up, and just a ton of time to soak up inspiration and gear up for the next project. So yeah, it was in some ways, it was a really good season. I hate to say that about COVID because it was bad for so many people, and it was hard for us in a lot of other ways because our events got wiped out for a year. But in other ways, it was really amazing time to just be able to soak up inspiration and get ready for the next project.
So you guys did, in fact, release the project during COVID?
Yes. Yeah.
Wow. And you were writing in during that season.
Yeah.
Did you end up having to revisit the content for your next project?
I wrote, I want to say over 70 songs for this new album that I'm releasing next month. Yeah. And that started in COVID, like when the pandemic started.
Yes.
Well, maybe a few, maybe like a few months after the pandemic started, because I was pretty, pretty shut down for a while, even mentally for myself. I just really, it was a real reset time for me.
Yeah, sure.
So it was really like maybe at the start of 2021 that I started writing for a new project, and yeah, I wrote over 70 songs for it. And some of those songs, you just over the years just kind of whittled through different things that I was walking through, different seasons that I was walking through with God and personally. And some of those songs are on this project, and some of those songs, are in my Dropbox folder, and maybe we'll end up on another project someday. But
right,
for this project in particular, just really wrote a ton and was able to whittle it down to, 10 songs that really work together thematically. And this was one of those where I was like, I don't know. I mean, I have different ideas of what I want to write about, but I don't know how this is all going to come together. And it all was the Lord's will and hand on it the whole time. It's really beautiful. Yeah. To be able to look back on it and just see the ways that he was kind of leading the whole way. And I had no idea.
He's good like that.
Good like that. He is.
How often do you go back into the Dropbox of old songs, what you consider old songs, and revisit and decide, this will work on my next project?
Yeah. Not as often as you would think. I think I was in those songs for such a long time before I really solidified this project, that I've taken a break from it to just kind of be like, let's let those songs sit. So I might revisit it, you know, in the next couple of months just to be like, okay, are any of these songs like inspiring me for the next thing? You know, but because I wrote so many songs that have spent so much time, on this new album, it's a hard thing, right? You spend so much time crafting a new album, and then it's like, okay, it's time to start again, the cycle again.
Right, right.
So on a psychological level, sometimes it's like, wow, I have to start from scratch again. So probably when I reach that crisis point again, I will start with the Dropbox and be like, okay, I have at least a couple of songs here that could start a new project. Like, let me feel okay about that and then start fresh. But
yeah. It's, can I just say, those drop boxes, mm-hmm. hard drives, those old emails,
the voice memos.
Listen, they have gold. I've got a session later this morning revisiting a piece of gold from from years ago.
Yeah.
And
but this revisiting of gold, is it a song? Because I've heard of this happening where you've got something kind of stored away, and mm-hmm. it's more of an idea, and then you take it and you completely change it.
Mm.
Like my brother he doesn't write a lot of songs. He's a uh-huh. a lead pastor in a church, and he's very gifted musically. And I remember many years ago he wrote this slow. I'll call it a slow worship song. I can't remember the song specifically, but it was a slow worship song. And somebody uh-huh. came up to him afterwards and said, and he had never performed it, never, you know, recorded it, just wrote this song. And somebody mm-hmm. heard it and they said, you know what, you should make that like an upbeat song. And it completely changed the dynamics of the song.
Sure.
It sounded great.
Sure.
So Sarah, has mm-hmm. that happened to you? And if so, what was it like letting go? Because obviously you have a kind of vision of where it's going to go. And then you've got all these people speaking into it saying, but what about this? What about
this?
I know. That's right. It's like, this is my little pet project here. And now you guys are changing it all, right?
It's hard.
Yeah. It's, it's really hard. Yep. I think, but here's the thing. I love co-writing because it really, like I said earlier, it really challenges me. And sure. especially when I'm, it's this give and take, it's this, you know, push and pull. And sometimes it, I have, like, I'm willing to die on a hill. Like, sometimes I'm like, I would not say it that way. We cannot say it that way. So we have to, it doesn't have to be my way, but we need to like massage yeah. this because that's just not the way that I feel about it or would communicate it. So like, let's keep working on it.
But then I don't think I could be a songwriter then.
That's so funny.
I mean, but then there's sometimes where it's like, well, I don't need to die on that hill. Like, that's really fine. Right. And sometimes I rely on their, like, sometimes I'm writing with people who write like in the top 10 best worship songs in a year, you know? And so yes. I kind of, in a way it's humbling too, because there's times where I'm like, okay, I hear what you're saying and I trust you. And so I'm going to give you that on that line or that melody or whatever. Because there's definitely times where I'm like, ah, I'm not feeling it in the moment. But then right. we work on the track and it's like, wow, that's magic. Like, that was a right. great idea. And I would have never come up with that myself. So mm-hmm. in some ways, it's just this beautiful, like, yeah, give and take and push and pull and collaborative experience. And sometimes you're really not going to love what someone came up with. And sometimes sometimes you are. And you, for me, there are so many times where I just would not have written the song that we came up with if I hadn't have been in a co-writing situation, yes. you know?
I hear you.
So it's a gift, but it's also a challenge. And there's definitely people who are more of a bulldog or more of a bull in a china shop that I just wouldn't write with again, because I'm not, my personality is much more like chill and kind of calm and right, slow processor. Right. And so sometimes those people who are like, no, it has to be blah, 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 like, it's too much
yeah,
for me.
Yeah.
But the nice thing is you are the artist. So and if it's a case where it's your song, you can say, well, you know, thank you for your feedback. And
exactly.
you know, we'll pray about that. Or
exactly.
you know, I mean, that's the nice thing you can do.
That's funny. When
exactly.
you hear somebody say, we'll pray about that,
you know,
they really mean no.
That's right. That's right.
yeah.
It's an no
yeah.
for me.
My friend,
it's an no for me. Yeah.
One of my friends who's also a writer, he's more in the country space in Nashville. He calls it the Nashville no in a co-write, where like you'll suggest something and people just don't respond, or they're like, oh, interesting. And then they move on or they just don't. Like, that's the Nashville no, you know, where
that's
it's like, we're
funny.
Not going to say no, that's a terrible idea, but we're just not going to land
say something
on
else.
It.
Right.
We're just going to move on.
I don't know. That's kind of blunt already, you know?
Yeah, I know. But you just learn some of that, you know.
Read the room. That's called yeah. reading the room. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
You really learn how to read a room and how to read people and pick up on right. the cues that are not obvious, you know. So it's fun.
It is fun.
Yeah.
Your latest project, the one that's being released, how much of that is original, all original material, or did you collaborate?
All of it, yeah.
And, oh wow.
All of it's original, but I mean all of it was co-written. Yeah.
Okay,
so,
got you.
Yeah, none of them are cover songs or anything like that, but yeah, all of them are from co-writes. So, yeah.
Nice.
Do you have a specific yeah. songwriting process? Are you the type of person that comes up with a hook first? Or is it all
sometimes.
The lyrics or all the music, the melody?
Oh, no, no. Most of the time I'll have like a hook, or I mean, my voice memo is full of, this could be a cool little hook, or this could be the melody for a chorus or a bridge or whatever.
Sure.
So I'm more of a melody girl. I'm driven by melody. I need that to like catch the vibe of a song and what I want to say and how I want it to feel. And so I definitely start with melody and then mostly write with people who are really gifted in lyrics, because that's not my strong suit. But that's okay, because again, the art of co-writing, you write with people who are strong in their own right and their
yeah,
own
sure.
gifting. So yeah, I don't have a set process every time. I just try to soak up inspiration wherever, whenever possible. And I'll, you know, keep stuff in my notes app or in my voice memo app or whatever, and just pull from that from time to time.
Mm.
Your latest yeah. project, A New Reality, it's out May 17th.
Yeah.
Are you Is the plan to release a few songs in advance, or is it everything all at once? You know how the whole industry has changed, where a lot of people just release singles for a period of time first, and then, oh, here's the rest of them.
Yeah, I felt really strongly that I did not want to do that with this one, mostly because as a consumer of music, I don't know about anybody else, but for me, I get confused when it's like single after single after single. I'm like, wait, was this a part of a project? When is it? Right. And I know that that's the way that digital streaming platforms like to do it, because they get on playlists and all the things. But for me, I just was like, with this project, it feels like one solid thing. So we just did two singles, and then the album is coming out May 17th. And then we'll have like deluxe tracks and bonus tracks and acoustic tracks and all the things. But for this project, I just wanted to release it as soon as possible as one piece of music. And other people might not care about that. But for me, it just felt like that was right for this project. So, yeah.
The deluxe version, do you have all that material ready? Ready to go for that already?
Yeah, okay. I have four bonus tracks. Yeah, right. Yeah. They're already all done, and acoustic tracks are already all done. So it's going to be like a year of releasing, I think, songs, which is fun. It's fun for me and exciting and just a beautiful thing.
Do they ever get old? You know, like a year later, you know, and you would have written it, you know, months, perhaps years before it actually got recorded. Yes. I mean, do you ever get tired and think, oh, this is such an old song, and yet it's new to everybody else?
Yeah, that's definitely a challenge to keep it fresh, because I've been listening to these mixes since before they were even like real songs, you know, produced songs. So I, for the last year, probably, I've been listening to these songs before they're even in anyone else's ears, you know? So it doesn't get old. I think it can potentially feel that way, but you kind of have to keep it fresh, which is, I mean, it's every time I play it live, especially with my band, it feels different. It feels nuanced, and they bring their own like energy to it and expertise to it and instrument to it. And so when we play it live, it keeps it fresh, because every night is different. They're not always the same performances. So that helps. But yeah, I would say like I've been listening to these songs for over a year now. So I'm excited for other people to get to hear them now. But I still listen to it. You know, I still listen to this record. That's what's unique about this record in particular, is I feel like it's really been ministering to me as I listen back to it, which doesn't always happen for my music, at least. Not to say that it doesn't minister to me, but this one in particular has really been a part of my journey and faith journey over the past year in a really special and profound way. God has really used it for me. And I'm really grateful for that, because it feels like some of these songs are just beyond me. Like they are my songs, but they feel like, really special and like God has really used it for me, which is really profound. So it's helpful.
And they're fresh to everyone that hears them for the first time.
Yeah.
So when you go out every night, you know, they're brand new to those folks.
But wouldn't the listeners or the people attending, and I don't like using the term concert, but when you're performing these songs in a live environment, wouldn't the listener expect to hear it sound like the same it was on the album?
I don't know. Maybe. Maybe they expect to hear it exactly the same. But I also think there's something really, that's what is so cool about live music. It can be unique. It's its own unique experience. And it already is unique whether you're performing it exactly like the track or not, because it's never the same two audiences. It's never the same gathering. Right. It's never... The Holy Spirit is moving in different ways because it's a different gathering of people. And maybe you focus on one song and you take it a little longer than you would at another night, because maybe there's people in that room that needed to hear that theme more than another song, you know? So it's a flexibility type thing in live spaces. And I think that's what makes live music amazing and here to stay, honestly, in an age of AI on the rise and all of these, you know, things happening, virtual reality on the rise and all the things. I'm saying is like
we've had chats about AI and
Yeah, I think, but I think the live music experience is unique enough that it's here to stay, you know,
yes.
And for that reason, it's just different every single time. And you can't bottle that up. You really can't.
No, you can't. And Sarah, don't go moving to Austin, Texas.
I'm
because
not.
Of the live music. You know, that's the live music capital.
Yeah.
Austin, Texas is?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like live where there's music happening, you know, every single day.
Different, I don't know.
Different venues, that sort of thing?
I'm not sure.
Oh. Well,
I just know that it's known as the live music capital.
Right.
Yeah.
I think it's really difficult for artists in this day and age, you know, not to dwell on the AI, but I think it is so much more difficult now to compete. It's almost like a competitor, right? For all of the artists out there, you know, the creativity.
Exactly.
When you get a computer to write lyrics, what do you need a songwriter for, right?
Yeah.
I think it's sad.
I know. It's a scary place to be. One of my friends, Matt Marr, is kind of taking charge. Yeah,
that's kind of name dropping a bit there, but that's
no,
okay.
No, I'm sorry. I love him so much. Such an amazing artist, and but he's been taking time over the past few months of trying to pass some really specific laws, at least in Nashville, that are related to this and writer rights and voice rights and all of that kind of stuff. Cause it's happening so fast, not to go down the AI train again, but it's happening so fast. And
we
need laws of protection for artists and songwriters. And we really do. So he's trying to be on the forward thinking train of that. And I really just love what they're doing, keeping up with what they're doing, and grateful for people who are thinking outside the box and trying to set in motion some protection, you know.
Aisha and I had a conversation a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking quite in depth about AI on the podcast, and the guy we were chatting with was we were suggesting that, you know, in a podcast environment, like, you know, maybe a year or two down the road, they would get to that point where it would sound like Aisha and I having a conversation together, and, you know, everything from interrupting to each other to the comedy, to the humor and stuff like that. And a couple of days ago, he sent me a link saying, it's here. Like they've got, all you have to do is plug in the subject matter, plug in the, you know, the type of voice you want and the local dialect or accent you want, and you've got yourself a podcast. And
my goodness,
just crazy. So Aisha and I, like, we might not be around much longer. No, I'm just kidding.
No, don't say that.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Hey, I will say this. Next time you talk to Matt Marr, please tell him we'd love to have a guest on the show.
I would love to.
He's a busy guy, but that I really admire what he's doing there, because I think that needs to happen industry-wide in all the different, you know, parts
all
of it.
The genres.
You saw it happen with the writers' strike in Hollywood and stuff, and they stuck to their guns and said, you know, we can't let this take over our industry, take over our jobs and stuff. And I think that's important, you know, throughout all the different creative avenues out there. So.
I agree.
Rodney Jerkins is another. He's speaking up for artists and writers and thank God for those people.
That's right.
Amen.
What a great opportunity to get to know Sarah a little bit and hear about her journey and hear about how she's progressed in the music industry over the last little while.
Mm-hmm. It'll be fun to maybe get a chance to write together, do something. Collaborate.
You mean you and her, not me and her. I don't think I would add, you know, very much, you know, to the mix.
You'd be surprised.
Maybe. But I've said this to you before. Even if I could add a word or two, just so I can get the
word, baby.
The credits on it. Yeah. There you go. Well, that is it for this week's episode of Between the Grooves. Thanks for hanging with us today.
Yes, and come back again next week and the week after, and then the week after that, and then the week after that.
We get the idea.
Yeah. Just do it.
Thanks for listening to Faith Strong Today's Between the Grooves podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, would you consider sharing it with your friends? rating our podcast, or giving us some love on your socials to your amazing friends and followers will only help us reach more people. We'd also love to hear from you and share your feedback in an upcoming episode. Send your video or written message to Aisha and James on Facebook or X at Between Grooves and on Instagram at Between Grooves Pod. Or email us anytime, hello@faithstrongtoday.com.